Blog Talk Radio.
On June 29th, 2011, summer is coming in. Loudy sing cuckoo. Did you have to learn that in high school? We had to learn it, but summer isn't coming in here. It's cold. Anyway, let me move right on. You know, the other day, I wanted to complain about Blog Talk Radio. Everything's changed there, but I won't. I'll press ahead. The other day, I was reading a political blog, and the author said that some people run from a fight because they can't stand the idea of having an enemy. They don't want to be the bad guy in someone else's imagination. So I posted something about this on Twitter. I said, if you're not willing to have enemies, you haven't grown up. And of course, I got a reply. I got a challenge, this time from my good friend, whom you might not know, Generation Meh. That's Generation M-E-H. She said, Animal, if you're still thinking in terms of enemies, maybe you need to grow up. Maybe you, Animal, you need to grow up. Then she said, enemies exist if you need them. And eventually, you get to the age where you don't need to think in those terms. You see, according to her, and it's a her, having an enemy is a state of mind. If you think you have an enemy, that means you see the world through the eyes of a child. You think you're weak, and everyone around you is strong, and that scares you, but it's not necessary. That's what she said. Yeah. Are they out looking for a fight? No. Anyway, I gotta tell you, is it really like she says it is? Don't some religious people tell you to love your enemy? Yeah, as I said before, they're not looking for a fight. They're not. They love their enemies. But you know what? They don't pretend they don't have any enemies. And if you're a recruiter, you have enemies. I guarantee it. The hiring manager who gives you a search, then after you've done it, tells you that she's being forced to hire from within or that her budget isn't as big as she thought it was, she's not your enemy. Yeah, of course she is. And what about the receptionist who won't give you the names of the people you want to speak to? She's not your enemy. Of course she is. And what about the candidate, hey, who swears up and down that he likes your job better than the other offer, and then he takes the other offer and spills the beans about your job to his other favorite recruiter? Those people are your enemies. You might not hate them, and they might not hate you, but they don't mind. They don't mind standing in the way between you and what you want, between you and what you need. Yeah, the receptionist is just doing her job, but she's against you, right? That weasel candidate, he's just looking out for himself, and who can blame him for that? But he's against you, and you can't take proper action until you realize that. You can't take proper action until you're willing to stand up like a man or a woman, not a child, and oppose them. Having an enemy, being willing to have an enemy, is liberating. Yeah, and that's the ethos of this show as well. If you come here as a guest and say something dumb, we're not going to press our lips together and look at the ground. No, we're going to embrace you in opposition, because this is a show where enemies meet. And Jerry, can you tell us what show is this?
The Recruiting Animal Show!
a little quiet today, Jerry. You not feeling very well? Yeah, yeah. Don't you can't make up for the weakness of that show by dragging it out.
That was weak.
Oh, that was sure was.
My back hurts. You don't understand. Okay. My back hurts, and I couldn't dig deep enough because might be painful. I don't get paid hazard pay on this job. Okay.
Okay, why didn't you warn me in advance? I mean, that sort of ruins my psyche.
Sometimes
for this
I
show.
Struggle. I don't need to announce it to everybody.
Well, how about me? I got to do the show anyway. Forget you. Bill Borman, he's the guest. Bill, are you here?
I'm with you, Animal.
Oh, thank God. I had a feeling you weren't going to show up, Bill. Thanks for making it here, all the way from
not
England.
Running away,
you're still
my
in
friend.
England, right?
I am indeed not running away, my friend.
Hi, Bill.
Okay, Bill, I don't know if you realize it, but we have a new section at the beginning of the show, not every week, but often. It's called Breaking News, and I've got, I think, if he showed up, Jimmy Durbin, the @SM headhunter. He contacted me just before the show. He says he had something very important. I told him to call in. So let me ask, Jim Durbin, are you here? One, two, three. Four. You know, Jim's not here, so we'll move right on, okay?
Now, what was the breaking news? Just give us the topic and we'll speculate on it.
There's some kind of law in the States about the visas for special workers.
Yeah?
And that's what it's about. He sent me a ton of information. I said, I'm never going to read this. Don't bug me. You know? But anyway, let me move on, okay? I got to tell you something. A few weeks ago, you remember that Dan Schwab-Bell wrote an article in Forbes magazine in which he claimed that job boards belong in the dustbin of history, in the trash can of history.
So does he.
Every recruiter in the world agrees with you, Jerry. They told him that he was an arrogant little know-nothing. So I have to admire him. He brought on two experts the following week to represent an alternative point of view. One of those experts was Jim Durbin, who I thought was going to call in the show. The other, though, was Chris Russell of AllCountyJobs.com. AllCountyJobs.com happens to be a sponsor of the Recruiting Animal Show. And I
want
to tell you a little about them.
One of the bigger ones.
I want to tell you a little about them right now, what they do. They provide local job listings on a county-by-county basis. That's why it's called AllCountyJobs.com. They've got LongIslandJobs.net, BaltimoreJobs.net, PhiladelphiaJobs.net, WashingtonDCJobs.net, NewJerseyJobsShop.com, and many, many more.
Can I ask a question?
Go ahead, Jerry.
None of those are county names.
Well,
all cities
I like
and states.
Those names. Yeah, he's got those Westchester County and Fairfax County, and I never heard of those, so I just used the ones that I heard of. And I think my audience knows, but that's a valid question. Anyway, Jerry, let me tell you, these sites form a network representing localities all along the East Coast of the United States, and combined, they reach over 250,000 job seekers per month. You want to say it with me, anybody? AllCountyJobs.com. Say it with me again. Bill!
AllCountyJobs.com.
And Chris Russell is the owner.
250,000 job seekers per week.
Yeah, right. Okay, so Jim.
Mostly in New England.
In New England.
Okay, Jim Durbin, he's
not
here.
Not old England. New England.
Not old England.
Bill, I noticed
the motherland.
So we'll come back to our friend Bill Borman. Bill Borman, B-O-O-R-M-A-N. And, Bill, I noticed I looked at your blog today. Unfortunately, I can't find a search function on it. Maybe it's there. But the first thing you posted on your blog was an article about this new thing from Monster on Facebook called Be Known. Want to tell us about it?
Yeah, I think it's an interesting move from the job boards because it's –
Can anybody hear, Bill?
Yes.
Can anybody hear Bill?
Yes.
He sounds great.
Hi, Bill.
Okay, go ahead.
All right, I'm calling from a long way. I think it's an interesting move to add a social element, combining Facebook with the job boards. And just on the number, 80 million resumes in Monster, 500 million profiles profiles on Facebook. If you could start to combine those numbers and get a channel that works better than the spammy branch out, I think it's going to be interesting.
What does it do, Bill? What does it do? Hey, does Bill ever remind you of Porky Pig? Get it out.
That
what
was uncalled
do?
For.
Oh,
no,
man,
redaction. Redacted.
You can Porky Pig me, puppy. I don't care. what does it actually do? You build a network within Facebook. You can message within Facebook. You can post your jobs, and job seekers can apply for jobs within Facebook without having to go into Monster or into an ATS, which proves.
Okay, give me a real example. Jerry, give him a title of a job you're looking for and tell us, Bill, you tell us what you would do with it on Beknown.
Contract SQL DBA, Lansing, 6 months.
Well, the first thing that's different with Beknown is it keeps profiles by skills rather than job titles. So
you know, Bill, I'm sorry, I'm struggling to hear you. I mean, I know I'm on a different line than everybody else, but can you talk into the receiver a little louder? I mean, I know I'm right that you won't turn up nice and loud on the recording. Do me a kindness.
He sounds fine, man.
I know what Animal's doing. It's fine. What we'll do, what you do is put the skills in, because profiles are built on skills, and the endorsements that are given, which are kind of like the LinkedIn referrals, are based on the skills. The other thing it does, it uses the Monster semantic engine to
reference
jobs.
So where do you go? If you want to put a job on Beknown,
yeah.
Does it cost money?
It doesn't cost money at the moment. I'm sure it will do because it's a job board model. But
Let me ask you again. Where do you go to do
In your Beknown profile, there's a big button that says post a job, and that's kind of where you go.
How do you get to your Beknown profile?
You become a member through Facebook. It's all within. Just go to Facebook, search Beknown.
If you go to your own Facebook profile now, I'm a member of Beknown.
Yeah.
If I go to my Facebook profile, am I going to see a place on my page where I can just access Beknown?
Yeah, just put Beknown into the search engine. That'll bring up the fan page.
Animal, if you can't find Beknown right
once,
now,
once you have it,
you're
Animal,
not.
Once
comes
you have
up,
it,
it
okay.
Well,
once you have
up
it,
up on the list of apps on the left-hand side of Facebook. If you have the
Well, hold on a second. Dave Manister is speaking from his speakerphone, which he knows is wrong.
Yeah.
But
it's
good
not
to
a speakerphone. It's a cell phone because I'm in Las Vegas.
Okay. German.
Well, where do you go?
Manister came up with some really good stats in his last post about Beknown when
it
first launched.
Let Manister talk for a second. Let him tell us where it is.
If you go to Facebook and you have the app installed, it comes up on the left-hand side under your list of apps. It's just there as one of the options on the side.
And what do you think about it, Dave? That's Dave Manister, the kingfish of ERE. What do you think about it? Maybe you don't have a comment. Maybe it's not politic.
I wrote about it on ERE already. I think that it's a good step for them. I think that it's a response to LinkedIn more than it is to branch out. And I think that they're about 3 years behind what LinkedIn has done. They've got all the connections and stuff, but LinkedIn's changed a lot in the last few years. They've given people, you know, it used to be a place where relationships kind of went to die. Like, you'd kind of set up your resume, connect with a few people, and then you'd never go back, unless you were actually a recruiter, because that was kind of your job. And now it's gotten a little bit more social. The groups are working. People are coming back for content. LinkedIn Daily is bringing people in. They've given people reasons to come back, and what's happening right now with Branch Out, and you know, I'm assuming it's going to happen with Beknown also because it's only a couple days in, is that people are going, setting up a profile, and they're not really coming back.
Yeah. That's why I'm going to skip phase one.
Janice, do you have an opinion on Beknown?
I'm not known and don't know anything about it. I haven't joined it. I'm in enough things. Too much dilutes everything.
Okay, you better find out about it. Anybody else want to comment on Beknown before
What's the number one asset? The number one asset to candidates, recruiters, or coaches? What's the difference?
Isn't it obvious? It's a place that's like a resume bank. It's like a profile
Be
bank
found.
Where you find people, just like LinkedIn.
That's the point.
It's just trying to come up with a LinkedIn competition, which is cool.
Just
you know.
Like Google Plus is the competition now for Facebook, right? There's a new Google has a new option. You only get invited special people, not me, to Google Plus. Okay, Bill, still
I'm
there? Okay, everybody's telling me they can hear you, but I know it's not going to be good on the thing. Anyway, okay, so you told us something about Be Known from Monster. What's Ripple? RYPPLE. I saw you praising it on your blog. Ripple.
Yeah, Ripple is an internal feedback network. So it looks like Facebook, but it sits within the company. And you can use it to communicate either with the whole team, with individual teams, with the company, or with one person, and it's very easy to schedule comments. It also does quite a lot in the on the game side of recognizing people's achievement in the company by badges. So I just love the way it works for an internal comms network.
It's an internal Facebook. Ripple is an internal corporate Facebook. Is that
with
right?
With a smidge of clout on it. With an underlying Empire Avenue.
There is some Empire Avenue in there, same as there is with Benone and Branch Out.
All right.
Uh-huh.
Everyone's going, you know, they're spreading the message and really attracting joiners through the achievements, which lots of people rubbish, but lots of people have.
Now, when you say there's a bit of Empire
Avenue,
what do you mean? Not everybody's familiar with Empire Avenue, although I should note the CEO of Empire Avenue is going to be on this show next week. If anybody's interested,
you mean
they call in.
The kid that came up with this and is shocked that people are taking it seriously?
Yeah, that's exactly the guy. I mean,
okay.
It's like any social platform. It's what you use it for. What I do know is job seekers who are attaching their resumes to shout-outs and getting them looked at, getting interviews and getting jobs. What I also
know
is
losing
it's quite,
you. Forget it. Let's move on. You also talk about that. I'm talking over you, and you listen to me. I run the show, okay? Now, look,
okay,
you
boss.
Also,
I'm listening.
You also prayed something called timert.me, T-I-M-E-R-T .me. What's that?
That's an application for sharing your YouTube channel in Facebook, but it shares your channel as well as your video. So so you can brand it and you can go straight to your channel and see other videos that you have. So, you know, videos the number one content distributed in Facebook. So it means you can make your brand viral.
So in other words, it sort of duplicates your YouTube channel page on Facebook. Is that it?
On Facebook, so you can share in Facebook and other social places.
Timert.me. Timert.me. Okay, I got one thing on boomerang hiring. No one's talked about that for a while. Boomerang hiring is when you rehire someone who's been with your company before and left. Can third-party recruiters do that? I noticed you were talking to people about it. You were excited about it. Can me or
can
anybody
I,
else?
Can
third,
I?
Can I?
Can
yeah,
me?
I don't want to say, can me?
I've been working with my kids on the same thing.
If you've got a customer,
me and Hannah are going to the mailbox. You know, no, it's Hannah and I are going to the mailbox.
Okay. Bill. Can a third party recruiter go out and, you know, they give you a job order and then you go out and bring them one of their old employees? You think it's going to work?
If they'll pay the fee, yeah.
I'm doing it right now, Animal. Got a guy interviewing.
I'll tell you what we are going to find, and this is something that I know Sodexo are doing actively at the moment. I was speaking to Harry Ball about it, and that is they are taking ex-employees as they're retiring. They haven't got people coming through to take their skill base. They're taking them back on contract primarily through third-party recruiters. So, you know, the boomerang bit, maybe not less so for direct hires, but certainly for bringing people in to do contracts and projects, it's a great opportunity.
Been going on for years, Animal. Wake up.
Jerry, yeah. You said you're actually doing that?
Right now.
Tell us a story. You're placing somebody with a client for a fee who's worked there before.
Yep. I mean, he was a good guy when he was there. He's moved on, worked a couple other places, and
it's a bit different. That's a contractor. It's different, okay?
No, it's not a contractor. It's for a full-time interview Friday at 2 o'clock. Thanks for guessing incorrectly.
Does anybody else have a comment on that? The show's really slowing down, Bill. I'm warning
you.
Yeah, okay.
Animal, it happens. I've seen it happen a ton of times. The
human resources will reject it. Well,
yeah,
eventually reject
that. Yeah, a lot of the internals don't recognize that, and there's people that have left and gone off. And another thing, Animal, is the boomerang hiring is going to keep going because companies don't give their people the raises to bring their people up to market rates, so they have to go out, go get another job, improve their skills, bump their salary, and now the company says, hey, Animal was a good guy, we'll bring him back, and now Animal can get the market rate back at his old company. Happens
but
all
the time.
Yeah, I think it's also what they do. Yeah, I think what you've got 2 points. As a third-party recruiter, first thing you've got to do is get a client who will pay a fee. That's harder to come by. But as an internal recruiter, somebody like Sodexo are hiring up to 12% of their hires now come from people who they rehire because they run this boomerang community. That's what I thought was quite cool.
Uh-huh. So what can I say? Is that Alan Fuhrer who's talking?
Yeah, mine animal.
Alan Fuhrer.
Okay.
Don't diss the floor.
Okay.
Hey, Alan, did you get my email?
Yeah,
I
did,
one
Jerry.
Second
I'll get
ago.
Back to you. Yeah, I'll get
hey,
back
Jerry,
to you.
Hey, Jerry, come on.
Okay,
Jerry, don't chit-chat from your personal life on the show. So,
it's
Alan,
not personal. It's professional. It's professional, okay?
What I'm interested in, Alan, what I'm interested in, let's say I bring somebody and the client says, I know that guy. I'm not going to pay you for him. What do you say to him?
I say real easy. When was the last time he was in your date? When did you guys talk to him last? And if they say, and the only smart people that have a leg to stand on is, oh, well, we talked to him a week ago, 2 weeks ago. Then you have to have a conversation. But, hey, we submitted him. We put our name on it. He told us he was not talking to you. He's ours.
Okay.
And that's how it works.
That's bold. Okay. Okay.
Bold?
Yeah.
What do you mean bold? If they're too stupid not to read, if they're too ignorant and busy to hire back their good people, then why shouldn't I be paid for it? I'm saving them money.
He's more than qualified. He has proven success there.
Yeah. Hey, if they want to pay their internal people to go out and hunt and peck and find the older people that used to work there, then pay them and they'll do it.
Okay.
But
anything going. There's fire engines going on by here. I can't hear a word anybody say. Okay, Bill, what's next? What do you want to tell us about LinkedIn? That's what I advertised
well,
you for.
Well, you want to talk about LinkedIn. We're 25 minutes into the show, so we've got to start talking about it. I think the first point I want to make is something that really provoked the conversation for me is the amount of books which are being sold which talk about an old style of LinkedIn. Job seekers are still buying it, and it talks about an old style of LinkedIn which doesn't exist anymore. LinkedIn, there's three key things which I think have changed within LinkedIn. The first one is most important thing for a job seeker is it's their skills profile. And you're still talking about because the matching engine that sits behind LinkedIn matches on three things in order. Number one is location. So you need to make sure your location is listed as the place where you want to work. Number two is the skills section, which is still only completed on 10% of profiles, even those profiles that say they're 100% complete.
Why is that important, the skills section?
Because that's what you're recommended on when LinkedIn matches you. One of the things that happens now with LinkedIn is the semantic engine that works behind LinkedIn will either recommend jobs to you on your homepage that you need to go and have a look at, or when you place an ad when you take an ad out with LinkedIn, it recommends the top 50 profiles that you should be looking at for that job. Now, if that match list comes out as being right, they're not going to look at. There's not going to be a need for them to further advertise or investigate. So the matching is really driven by number one, location; number two, skills. What advice and all the books should be saying is telling job seekers to make sure they complete that skill section accurately.
Okay, so let me just say, so LinkedIn now is doing computerized search, right? They're sidestepping us altogether. And
that's
usually
one
factor. Computerized.
The other thing to bear in mind is less people are actually operating within LinkedIn. Something Dave said that I'm not sure I agree with.
The average LinkedIn LinkedIn user is visiting the channel no more than 2.8 times a month. That's the average, which comes from Comcast. How people are engaging with LinkedIn is through external either applications or email. It's the email update of what's going on, or it's applications that enable them to post in things like multiple groups. So what we should really be talking to job seekers and recruiters about is what apps they should be using, and what they should be using them for. The other thing which I think is key is what the profile is being used for, because the social sign-in is becoming bigger and bigger, which is where your LinkedIn profile is being used to either update an ATS information sign in. For instance, you mentioned Benone. You joined Benone. Your profile is built primarily from your LinkedIn profile and the information you give it. So it's not about creating a LinkedIn profile like a resume that looks nice. It's making sure all the factual points are in the right place.
Okay, so you're saying, Jerry, you made fun of computerized search. There's an automated search.
What the heck are you even talking about?
What the heck are you even talking about? Who's this? Anyway, so LinkedIn does automated searches, and you have to fill out certain new sections like the skill set in order
the
to skill set, have it
the
work.
Skill set. The skill set, which still, if you haven't completed that, LinkedIn tells you your profile is 100% complete.
So, Bill, are you saying that if you do a skill search, it is not finding any of the information that is in the person's resume or that section of resume? It's not searching that?
What it's searching for skills is the first place it looks in is location, number one. So it'll look at all the profiles which are based within initially a 25-mile radius. The second thing it then looks at is
what if you don't use location as a search criteria? It doesn't look there first, then, does it?
It's not about you searching. Most companies advertising jobs, third-party applications which are searching within LinkedIn. For instance, the big thing that's coming up now is the social referral applications. So things like Workfor Labs, Bullhorn Reach.
Things like what? Things like what? Things like what? I don't know those things.
Workfor Labs, which is an application that sits within Facebook. Bullhorn Reach.
Can you spell it? Can you spell it? I don't understand what you said.
This is all such a giant world of crap. I can't believe people just keep fishing around him.
I told you I can't hear the guy. Can you spell it out for me with Jerry?
WORK4LABS. Workfor Labs. Bullhorn Reach also works through LinkedIn. So what we're seeing is more people are using their LinkedIn profile as a reference source to another application that searches it. It's been developing ever since LinkedIn opened up their API. But what people are being advised to do is write their LinkedIn profile as if it's a document that people look at rather than the one that's referenced.
Now, I see
people
a gap there. I see a gap. Jerry just mentioned it, right? If these guys post a job on LinkedIn,
yeah,
and LinkedIn does an automatic search and it's looking for location first, and that's not there, but we as recruiters go in and do manual searches, we're going to come up with more people than the automated search, right?
I would agree with that.
Okay.
And you'll come up with better people, too.
Who's that?
I just want to make a point. I'm not disputing it and saying, you know, this is the way ahead, this is the future. What I'm talking about is what's actually happening and and the information that's missing in terms of what job seekers are being advised.
So to clarify, you're not promoting any of this. You're just cluing us in on
how LinkedIn is working. I'm not saying, look, this is the future. That, you know, this is better than recruiters, worse than recruiters. However, the point I want to make is how many books are about that are over a year old and haven't been updated when LinkedIn have made all these changes, and I think it's scandalous that people are still taking money for information that's incorrect.
Well, I mean, LinkedIn is changing every day, so how can they keep abreast of it, you know, except
just,
on a blog?
It's quite simple. You only sell your books as e-books, and you update them every month. Otherwise, you're stealing money from people.
Can I ask, I've got a question. Bill, you're talking about as a candidate you need to put all of your keywords in the, quote, skills section?
No, you need to complete the skills section of your LinkedIn profile.
Where is that?
It's a new section. It sits under the professional headline.
I see. Because I'm signed on as a candidate or whoever. So there's this new button that says
if you go into edit your profile, So go in as if you're going to edit your profile. It'll give you a choice of sections to complete. One of those is skills, which will say update your skills.
I see. That is new. Okay. I don't have any skills, it looks like.
Right. Yeah, well, in terms of the search, it's in the way that the search would return you, or the electronic search or an application searching for someone with recruiting skills in your area, you wouldn't be returned on that list, Terry, because you haven't completed that section. So it's like missing keywords.
Where is that section, Bill? I'm looking for it. It's Kathy Manis. I'm editing my profile here. Where exactly is the skills section?
It's right under your headline area. I mean, it says new. You'll see a button on there that says new. I mean, I found it.
Okay.
I'm right now adding in my certification from the National Association of Personnel Consultants.
Great, great. Keep the show going, Bill. What's next on LinkedIn that's new?
So the next thing on LinkedIn is the actual one of the applications I'd say everyone wants to have a look at, even for recruiters or job seekers, is to look at the things like the toolbars. And the one that I recommend using is Jobs Insider. It's a free toolbar. It's not a tool. It just sits under the toolbar. It's two headings. What that means, and this is the way that more people are being active in groups, picking up on Dave's point, it means you can post in all of your groups without actually going into that group. So it's very easy for you to put what we should be advising people to do is you put in a discussion point around the group, put a heading in, and you need to think of your heading being written almost for Twitter, because a lot of the way people are receiving this content is via email, not actually looking at the LinkedIn group.
Now, are people using those discussion groups?
I do.
People are responding to discussions, but what they're not doing is going into the group, because most people belong to multiple groups. They belong to up to 50 groups.
Uh-huh.
So actually, the way, and now you can email direct into a group. You don't have to go into LinkedIn. So whereas LinkedIn was historically a static platform, it was a website you went into, now most of the interaction from LinkedIn is going on from outside LinkedIn. So it's either via email and emailing directly into a group, or posting into a group using an application like Jobs Insider.
Mm-hmm. Who said they use the group? Somebody said I do. Who's that?
Tino.
Oh, hi, Valentino. Yeah, did you see I had a rebuttal to you on the go to my website, recruitinganimal.com. I got a rebuttal for you there from what you told me on my show last week, or 2 weeks ago. But anyway, let's move ahead. Thanks, Tino. Go ahead, Bill. Sure. Sorry.
Bill, go ahead. What you're finding is more people are posting in groups, but they're not posting from within groups. So they're using things like Jobs Insider, which enables you to quickly post into up to 50 groups, a discussion point, and a blog.
Jobs Insider. Do you go to jobsinsider.com, or where do you find that?
You can find that as jobsinsider.com, which then is an application to work with LinkedIn. It was actually the forerunner, because it's the other feature that it's got, which is quite neat, is it sits behind seven different job boards. And if you go onto the job boards, you can see all your LinkedIn connections behind that job in how you're connected with the job. And it also tells you, for recruiters, if you want a quick check, it also tells you people it would recommend from your network who could do that job. This comes back to, again, how I think LinkedIn is becoming a recommending platform, which is what your profile needs to be built for.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Now, Amy Beth Hale, I don't know if she's called in, but she's on Twitter, the research goddess, she said, so everyone is saying you can't fully automate the sourcing function. Now, I know she's got an axe to grind. She likes that she's a sourcer. But
I don't disagree with that. I don't disagree
with her as well, because, yeah.
I would agree with that point. I would just say if we look at an in-house recruiter, yeah, if an in-house recruiter is placing, there's certain things in terms of matching. Let's think beyond recruiters for a minute. First of all, if you're an in-house recruiter and you, as soon as you put a job in, you're getting 50 candidates recommended to you and those profiles look okay, are you going to go and source any further? Right, that's the first thing. Or are you going to take the easy option, which is to look at the ones that are recommended? The second thing is refer. You look at the LinkedIn internal referral engine, which is going to be driven by matching. So as a hiring company, if you're a hiring manager, you have a job, it will come back and say, all these people who work for you, they are connected with profiles who can do this job.
Yeah, but
the
Work4Labs
app is doing exactly the Work4Labs app is doing exactly the same thing. It's building referrals in terms of saying, right, that these people with social referrals
anymore.
Not recommendations.
That's just another one of those tools that thinks that everybody is or wants to be a recruiter.
Right, and the other thing it's going to do is it's going to force the hiring managers to go do something that they don't even have time to do because they're asking the recruiters to do it, and it's not going to it's one more data point and bunch of resumes that somebody's going to have to go through.
Well, I got to look through them anyway.
I think this will really open the comments. And that is where I actually see LinkedIn as developing as a platform which is entirely encouraging direct sourcing and not third-party recruiters.
Disagree.
I'm a big man now, and I don't have to be nice to people, unless I want it.
You need to put one huge caveat on that, and that's that the hiring companies are willing to have their internal functions not be so overloaded that they can actually go through that and read a profile as if it is, God, I hope, a resume, which it's not, and the companies, that's an overhead position, so they're not going to be putting in enough people to handle the rec load, which is why Kathy Manis and Arbita are doing so well.
Okay, fine. Those guys are overworked. Let me move on. Bill, just let's take our brain. You know, Bill, are you with me? Bill?
I'm still with you.
Say
I'm
yes.
Still with
I
you,
can't
friend.
See you, Bill. Say yes, okay?
Yes,
well,
I'm with
there
you.
In England. Okay. You know,
I'm
Gary wrote something. Gary wrote something on Twitter the other week, and I wanted to get your take on it because you're, you know,
hey, run it by
avid.
Me before you put it out there publicly.
Well, you put it out publicly, Jerry. You're such a social media demon that I wanted his point of view. Jerry wrote, I do not, cannot, and will not connect, follow, be followed, or befriend any dog, cat, or other domestic animal on Twitter.
Classic stuff.
Bill, would you sign up with would you communicate with Mr. Scrubby on Twitter?
I know I find Mr. Scrubby everywhere, my friend. I don't care who I connect with. I'm a LinkedIn tart and a Facebook whore, you know. Connect with everybody. I'll connect with everyone and then filter out who I want to talk to.
Bill, can I
ask you a question in a different way? Jerry, if Laurie was a hiring manager for the kind of staff you supply in the area where you live, and the way to connect with her was to tweet through Mr. Scrubby, who you knew ended up with her, would you then tweet to Mr. Scrubby or not?
If Mr. Scrubby was the gatekeeper,
if Mr. Scrubby was the gatekeeper and potentially could spend some money, would you connect with him or not?
Yes, I would, because Mr. Scrubby, if he's capable of being a client...
Bill got you, buddy!
No, if he is capable of being a client, I certainly would. However, that's an impossibility, so I have to say no.
Okay, Bill, anything else on LinkedIn? We're running out of time. Anything else?
Well, I just think it's keeping up to date with LinkedIn as the social sign-in element of it, which is... using the information from your LinkedIn profile to enable you to gain other sites. We've seen that from Bernard Hodes
with social job.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Hey, Bill.
I have no clue what you're talking about,
yeah.
Bill. No, let Bill finish.
I
what
have a question.
No,
it's
let
relevant.
Me ask what
it's not a relevant question.
Yeah.
But what is your current use and vantage point, then, of all these tools? I mean, what perspective are you learning and working with these tools from? Are you actively recruiting, or are you promoting LinkedIn or what?
No, I've just been involved in quite a big campaign for Hard Rock in Florence, where all the hiring was done within Facebook. 120 people hired in 4 weeks.
Uh-huh.
I'm working with Oracle Corporation globally and their recruiting team over how they leverage social tools to hire people. And what we're discovering off the back of that is that actually we should keep recruiters away from the social and have a separate engagement team and just work with recruiters on how to convert people, which is what they're good at.
Okay, cool. Just wanted
at the moment, I'm working. It's my show.
Okay, I'm
going
to give the floor
show.
To Animal for a second. Animal, what do you have to say?
Thanks. Thank you. Now, look, how do you recruit 120 people on Facebook? I want to know.
You say free beer.
Hey, are you the guest?
How hard is that?
I'll tell you how you do it, because it's quite easy. First of all, you build a community. First of all, you build a page which isn't a recruitment page. You then use very targeted Facebook ads against what your requirement is. The things we were looking for at Hard Rock was, number one, people who like rock and roll. That's a key requirement. Number two, they had some hospitality and catering, and we could include targeting employees of certain companies within that. And number three, they live within 25 miles of Florence or Florenzo. We created the page, but when you landed on the page, you could either just keep up to date with the opening of the new store, or you could apply for a job. And we put a job app in. We controlled the application process to be 2 weeks. Every 2 days, there was a live stream broadcast from somebody who was hiring, talking about what the jobs were going to be, created excitement. We got 11,000 applications managed through the Work4 app, which was all applications in Facebook. The agreement was that no ATS was going to be used. So for 3 days, a team just went through every resume they received, sifted out 700 people they wanted to interview over 3 days. Those 700 people were invited via Facebook personal messages, went to Eventbrite, booked into Eventbrite as a site, and as a site to book their interview slots, 20 an hour. And then there was 120 offered, and those people, once they were hired and accepted, then went off and worked somewhere else. So that's how we did that. That's how we did that for Hard Rock.
So in a sense, it was one big-ass cattle call that you then sifted down to who would work there, rather than recruiting specific targeted professional skill sets in general?
No. I mean, we targeted the ads into the community against all the different skill sets we were hiring. We were actually hiring for 26 different categories of staff plus about 20 senior management positions within for things like the kitchen manager, the chef, and all that kind of thing.
But Bill, you are kind of talking about a market space that is kind of and I'd like your comment on this, is kind of over flooded with candidates.
Every candidate is there, but there's not many people there looking for a job. So you have to work out how you put jobs into other content. Which is the same thing, the same thing we're doing with Oracle, again, getting some interesting results. The point is...
Describe the Oracle one, if Animal's okay with it. I don't want to step on our host.
Okay, that's
cool.
Go ahead.
No, I want to hear about this.
There's another application that I use from the UK, which is called the Social CV, which actually searches all social networks to identify people who have got a skill that you need, who are either in Facebook or on Twitter or where they might be hanging
out.
What's
that called again?
The social CV. Yeah, if anyone wants a test run of that for a month, just ping me a message and I'll sort it out for you.
How much does it cost? How much does it cost regularly?
That depends how many seats you've got, but it'll cost for one seat, it will cost you somewhere in the region of about $120.
A month?
A year? A month?
A month.
You had 24 openings and you brought in 700 people?
No, we didn't have to. We had 120 openings. But here, you said you got 11,000 resumes. Alan just said that these internal recruiters, they're already overworked. How did you get enough people dedicated to a look at 11,000 resumes?
I got 8 people together for 3 days, drank a lot of coffee, smoked a lot of cigarettes, and read every single one of them.
You know what? I'll bet in the end they didn't read those resumes any better than a machine would. You go cuckoo
no,
after a while.
I don't think they did. I think at the end of the day, results talk, and they hired 120 people, and they did it in 4 weeks. And they did it without the labor cost. They did it for a total advertising and marketing cost of $2,000. You know, I think you...
So Bill, what they did is they pulled a whole bunch of HR and admin people out to read resumes.
No. The team consisted of 2 people who specifically do recruiting and 6 hiring managers.
Okay.
From the different disciplines.
Alan talking about? Alan was talking about Oracle something or other.
I'd like to hear that one.
Yeah. For Oracle, we're building Oracle community. So we're building 3 different types of community. There's a main Oracle community already, which already has 120,000 fans, but no means of applying for a job. Because a lot of these big brand groups, they've created a page, people have joined that page, but nobody's thought about it as a place where you could recruit. So what you do is you just give people an opportunity to apply for jobs. And because they're members of the group, you can do everything in private messaging. You can search Facebook, by the way, for any kind of skill, and you can message people without them being your friends. You do that through Friend Finder. So it's very, very easy to locate people on Facebook.
Friend Finder? Or, tell us about these apps. I was under the impression that if you...
No, this is an app. This is on the Facebook page, on your Facebook page, you know where it says Friend Finder, so where you find friends to connect with. In other social places. You can do advanced searches in Friend Finder, and if anyone you find, you can send them a message without being a friend to them.
But
somebody
told me, let me just say something, that if you start approaching people in Facebook about jobs, they can complain to Facebook and they'll kick you off. Is that true or false?
No, put it this way, it hasn't happened. All I can tell you is it has happened.
It happened to my brother. He was kicked off of Facebook for advertising.
How long ago was this?
This was about 3 weeks ago. He's been kicked off several times.
But what was he doing? Is he a recruiter or a sex maniac? I mean, like, what's his story?
No, he was advertising his houseware product.
He's a New York congressman.
Okay.
He was advertising household products. All I can say is from a job point of view.
People were complaining, though, that they didn't know him.
If I could just say, the point of this, that, you know, I think it's like anything. It's exactly the same as if you approach people in LinkedIn for a job or any of the social platforms. You've got to do your sourcing work first. So the people you're sending them to are relevant jobs. If you're a recruiter and you get sent a job ad to be a vet, that's spam. But if you're a vet and you get a job ad to be a vet, you can see that somebody's actually targeting
Facebook. Does Facebook ask people for the relevant information to do a decent career-oriented search?
Well, it does. It does within Facebook. What you've got is about a third of the profiles fill in their professional information. That's also how the Facebook ads target people. If you want to know how many target candidates could be in Facebook for you to search, just go to the create an ad function and create a dummy ad. That will give you a number of profiles. So, for instance, for Hard Rock, the first thing we did was go in, create a dummy ad, say how many profiles meet this specification, and it told us there was 1,980.
So you can see how many
candidates are in Facebook.
Ad? Well, just Bill, listen to me. I'm the leader here. A dummy ad? AD?
Yeah.
I don't understand any. Okay, now the other thing you mentioned, was that work for lab or work for app? Work for app? App?
It's an app which is produced by a company called Work for Labs. They have about 8,000 customers on Facebook, and it's a means of applying But it's now they're now developing a referral product which works across LinkedIn. And what you're getting with the Facebook developments is most of them are being developed to work across both LinkedIn and Facebook, so you cover both channels.
Uh-huh.
Workforce app?
Workforce lab. Okay. Bill, I don't know if you heard my intro, but what happens if you're doing a search? You're doing a search, Bill. Are you listening to me?
Yeah, I'm listening to you, my friend.
Okay, and you send in a good candidate, and the client likes the candidate, and then they tell you, you know what? All of a sudden, they said I have to hire internally. Or they say, oh, you know, there's been some changes here. I don't have the budget anymore. What do you do?
What would I actually do about that? Well, I think the first thing you've got to do is look at how factual that is. I would certainly want to keep a track of the candidates I've already sent them. When people are really hot on a candidate and they suddenly go cold, you want to keep a track and see if you can find what we call a found fee.
Oh, they might be lying. They might want to hire them after they kiss you up, right?
Yeah, they get rid of you, but because it's so easy for people to connect now, once you give someone a name, it's very easy for people to find people. Increasingly, this is what recruiters are telling me, that, you know, we did the groundwork, we put people into the pipeline, we recommended people by resume or name. It's now very easy for somebody who is minded that way to go find someone for themselves. They can do that in LinkedIn, Facebook, any of the social channels.
What if they're legitimate? What if they're, you know, they're not just trying to cheat you? She just comes up with that, you know, oh, sorry. What do you do? You're beat, right?
Well, no, I think the first thing you've got to do is look at how often that customer does that, because if they're doing that regularly, do you really want to prioritise your time when they next give you a requirement?
Well, that's another story, yeah. We choose
who we work with, and sometimes, and as recruiters, we can be really guilty of not sucking enough clients.
So if they did it to you once, I guess the next time you could say, I'm only doing retained searches with you, so you have to pay me whether you hire the guy or not?
Yeah, either retained or you just get, you know, just go find another customer. There's plenty of customers.
Okay. Anything else about LinkedIn? It sounds like, and Facebook, you've got tons of information. I don't know if people are really understanding what you're saying. I found the story you told about Hard Rock Cafe. I guess it is very interesting. Can you finish that Oracle story? Can you finish the story before
I think
the show?
I think it's just a case of, you know, as and this is the message I'd give out to everyone. Remember, my background's third party, albeit more increasingly most of the work I do now is with direct recruiters. I think you've got to be aware of all these applications and how they're working, because it's what you're competing against. You're directly competing against people who are beginning to think they can do it easier for themselves. They miss out the magic bit about recruiting. But I know certainly.
Okay, you got a question here, Bill. You got it. Sounds like someone's trying to ask you a question.
Yeah, it's.
Is there a question
Kathy.
For Bill?
Kathy's corner.
On Facebook, if you're doing an advanced search, let's say UC Berkeley, and you want to find people that lived in the same dorm that you lived in, are you able to do that? I see where you can search by college or university, but like, is there more of an advanced search than
you
that?
You could do advanced search. You could do advanced searches by name. So you know, if you can get a list from somewhere else, how I would do that if I was looking for people specifically who might list something as their interest or their dorm, or you could also do a free text search for certain words that people might use. I don't need to tell you this, Kathy.
Hello?
A lot of the sourcing is just using the using imagination in thinking. I'll throw another story in, which is a Twitter. A guy on Twitter is called Irish Recruiter. He hired 27 people through Twitter, quite technical IT people. And he did that by searching for specific words that people would be tweeting only if they were programmers of a certain type.
And once he found one, what did he do?
What did he do? He set up in TweetDeck.
Yeah.
In TweetDeck, he set up a column just for those people, and he added each of those people. Everyone using those words was automatically put into a list.
Yeah, I can picture that. Okay, so then
what
did he do?
Once he found once he found 100 or so people who were tweeting the programmer's words, I call it geek code, knowing the geek code of what one person says to another. Once you've found people using those words, then start engaging with those directly. Look at the things they're talking about and join their conversation. Once you join their conversation, start following them. 50% of people follow you back. You can send them messages to say, look, do you want to have a conversation about this?
Okay, so you followed these people and some of them have followed you back, but then they're just stuck in your stream of 2,000 people. So
yeah,
how
you can unfollow people at any point if you want to. But if you're using TweetDeck, if you're using TweetDeck and organising people by lists, Jerry, if you've got you're recruiting for a certain type of Java programmer this week.
Yep.
You can find anyone in Twitter who's talking about who's using certain Java words,
mm-hmm.
which I wouldn't know, you would know. You put them in a list. So in that column, the only people whose tweets you see.
Okay, so you're just over there hanging out, following the list. That's cool. I can see the application of that.
Yeah.
You bet.
And then if you don't want to follow these people in 4 weeks' time, just take
them off. Bill, don't drag it out. You guys, say things and you say it 10 times more time-wise than you need. Bill, well, last thing. So with this woman, a hiring manager who said, oh, I have to hire internally now or I don't have the budget, you wouldn't take her on. You wouldn't say, don't do this to me. Don't screw me. I put 20 hours into this search on good faith. You're not going to get away with it. You wouldn't do anything like that?
Oh, yeah, I think you've got to deal with every situation, don't you? It's going to be based on your previous relationship. If someone is hard from you plenty of time, it's hard, but you're going to accept it. If someone who repeatedly gives you problems, you're going to turn around and say, look, at the end of the day, I can only work for you on a retainer basis. If you're upset with someone and you've put a lot of work in, don't be frightened to tell them the man hours you've put into that work. I think too many people do just say, oh, yeah, that's okay then. We should actually tell people the work that we do in finding them candidates, because a good recruiter actually makes it look easy.
And ask for something. Okay, don't give me a full fee, but give me 25% or a third.
Yeah, give me 25% or very least, give me some real commitment for you next time. Pay me retainer, but ask for something.
Bill,
don't be frightened.
Nice to have you, Bill. Always great to have you here. You really opened my eyes to some new things on LinkedIn and Facebook. I think we could have done it in half the time, but we did it. You can't stay on for Jerry's show. Here we go!
Hi, Jerry. It's Margo.
Hey, Margo. It's Margo's
new in
corner. Yeah, tell us what's up. What's going on? Aren't you supposed to be working right now?
Yeah,
day
first
three.
Week on the job here at Jackson as a recruiter.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just
what
to
doing?
Say hi to everybody.
Well, hi. What's happening?
Just working. Learning a lot of new things. It's
good
fun.
Deal.
Yeah.
Good deal.
What does your
deal.
Company do?
We are we do life insurance and annuities. We are right now looking for. Yeah. We're looking for people.
Actuarial stuff. I love that.
Yeah, and we're looking for a fund manager, fund accountant, and an AVP of talent recruiting.
Cool.
Where?
Here in Nashville. It's a great job for a good recruiter.
Cool.
How is everyone?
I'm great.
I give
as you all, I'm sure. No.
Yeah, I give Bill a 10 on this one.
Here in Nashville.
Who was that?
That's Margo.
No, somebody said something quietly in the background.
That's feedback.
Oh, I thought I heard somebody say, get that cat out of here. You know, the Facebook recruiting thing for
Hard Rock Cafe. Yeah, I mean, what? I think that's a fantastic approach to that kind of stuff. I mean, people love Hard Rock Cafe. You know, I have a Hard Rock Cafe shot glass in my bar. Now, would I want to go to work there just because I like their product or employment brand? Probably not.
Well, there's a key there, too.
Gary, do you have a bar?
That's funny.
Excuse me?
Do you know why it works so well, Jerry? It's really the Facebook ads that we're talking about. The targeting on Facebook ads has gotten so good that companies who have budgets for the kind of things are generating a lot of good results from it, especially in the restaurant industry, which is where Hard Rock goes. We just went to the People Report Summer Camp, and they were talking about that. Because, you know, none of us are going to spend ads to drive candidates because it's a cost. But the targeting you can do is pretty ridiculous.
I think the scale of that kind of a thing, hey, we need to hire 120 people in Italy, it makes sense for a big company to do that. A recruiter guy like myself just can't ramp up with that kind of activity, budget, resources, or time.
You're not going to make 35 placements off it. You're trying to make one, and you have no clue
or
what's
going
to come your way.
Or two. Sometimes I go for two.
But you can target it down. I mean, I've got Facebook ads running, and I think I've spent $14 total in 2.5 months, but pulled about 15,000 impressions. So it's a – I mean, I have it really narrowly targeted. I mean, it is narrow. Like, I don't
What's
want
it say? I mean, what – if I saw your ad, what would it say?
You wouldn't see my ad because we're friends on Facebook. So it's targeted for people who don't already connect it to me, who are director levels and above in social media in certain cities.
Mm-hmm.
To put social media talent in front of them. I mean, it's designed really for impressions. And then they click over, you know, it says it's a social staffing firm. So the only people clicking on it are folks who absolutely know what it is, who are already at a high level. It's not actually geared towards candidates. It's geared towards clients just to get the name out there because these guys are, you know, they're the only ones who actually look at the ads. People like me don't see ads.
Who's saying this?
Durbin.
Jim Durbin, who did not show up at the beginning of the show for the news flash about something
intern.
In Massachusetts.
I had an intern who was in. I was trying to train. I was trying to just train up the next generation.
Mm-hmm. I'll leave the snarky comments at the door here.
Well,
on the intern thing.
I could. Actually, that Massachusetts stuff is kind of scary. I don't want to hijack it, but it's a bad law.
Well, what is it?
So it's been sitting around. It's one of these laws that sits around for 10 or 12 years, and now they're starting to push it because the unions want it really badly. And it's supposed to be targeted at day laborers. So, you know, day laborers and, you know, office help. You know, 4 hours here, 8 hours here, 3 days here.
Talking about E-Verify?
No. This is a specific Massachusetts law that requires staffing firms to do a whole bunch of paperwork that describes the position, how many hours, what they're doing. That's how they're pitching it. It's supposed to stop the fraud of low-income workers in the blue-collar sections. That's how it's being pitched. The reality is...
How could you be against that, then?
Because it gets rid of contract-to-hire conversions. It prevents recruiters from doing business in the state of Massachusetts unless you have an office there, which means if this passes, you can't work with anybody in Boston. I don't know if you do. But cap on fees, dependent on they can literally rule that they'll do so. And of course, they're going to.
Wow.
I mean, this really is aimed at the heart of the staffing, and it's being sold as, hey, we're just trying to make sure that, you know, we get these, you know, temp workers taken care of. But even that's, you know, even that is a bad idea. I mean, when they start regulating staffing, you would have to sign up and get a license to do any work in the state of Massachusetts. Even if it was only a single client, or if it was a client in Indianapolis and you're placing somebody in Massachusetts, you run afoul of Massachusetts law. You might be charging too much. They can put restrictions on it. And once the law is in place, different bureaucrats get to determine what those rules are, which include getting rid of temp-to-hires.
Wow.
Unless it's their own temp-to-hire buddies, and then the industry will figure out a way to get around it.
Well, normally we do. The problem is we've been pretty unregulated.
Yeah.
You know, it gives us some flexibility in how to do those, but they're basically saying you don't have to be licensed to be a staffing. It said it's going after it, but it goes after anyone who does any type of recruiting whatsoever.
Or is it also another way to raise tax revenue through requiring another certification or license?
It's very much. And there's a big tech sector in Massachusetts.
Oh, huge.
I mean, some of the biggest, the biggest companies have giant offices there, and now they've got another layer of paperwork which they can do. But if you're a small firm, you're going to have some issues.
I don't think a lot of people recognize just how much hassle there is to just simply be an employer. I mean, it really ought to be
pretty
straightforward. It's nuts.
Saying that companies are so many companies hire temp workers from technology and others to get out of that burden so they can ramp up and down.
Sure, as they should be able to.
So the unions don't like that, and the government folks don't like that because they want to. If you do that, it's just too easy. If you have a bunch of temp workers, it's easy to shed people, which they don't want. They want to make it hard to do so. Plus, temp workers can't unionize as well as regular workers do. I can't believe they're thinking of passing this. I mean, I'll never do business in Massachusetts if it's passed, because who needs the hassle?
I tell you, I have opportunities to do business in all different kinds of states, and there's some states that I just simply pass up the opportunity.
Sure.
New Jersey was a big hassle. I employed a guy from New Jersey who worked in Indiana. It was a nightmare. You can't get out of the system. You will continue to report to that state until you've spent hours proving that you've got no business there at all.
Yep. Well, they do that in New York. If you work, if you go into the city, even if you work in Massachusetts or others, they claim that you owe income tax and all this other stuff. So it becomes a very nasty.
I have to do state income tax in four different states.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's crazy. I'm not sure if I mentioned this. I don't know, a couple months ago, but I hired a guy in Virginia, and he was working for one of my clients in Illinois. And, he worked maybe for like 7 weeks, maybe. Well, during that time, I was penalized for reporting income tax withholding too frequently. It was $130 bucks. I was sending them tax money too fast because I was not employing enough people to make, a certain volume threshold. So I fit into the quarterly or whatever it was. I don't have the notes in front of me, but I reported it too soon.
So you were caught too much in processing, so you pissed them off because they actually had to work.
Yeah.
Yep.
Well,
that's what makes it scary is they're passing this, and what happens when other states grab it? I mean, it really does start to restrict your ability to do the work, and so only very large agencies will even be able to afford staying in business.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't worry about dealing with that anymore, and no one's heard about it. We're not organized. This is a big part of the economy now. Temp workers are a big aspect of it. But the problem is when they write the laws, because they really have no clue what they're talking about, we get dragged into that net.
Oh, yeah.
So you're now being judged by the way that somebody hires an office staff to replace someone who's on jury duty. You're a high-paid technology person, executive one. You have to report the same rules. And if you don't, eventually you can get criminal sanctions for not sending information to a candidate or falling under. That's some crazy stuff.
Yeah. Hey, let's do some quick.
Too late.
I'm going to grab some quick show scores here because I got to get back to work. We're now going with educational value and entertainment value on a scale of 1 to 100. Who wants to go first? Alan? Entertainment value. No, education. I'm sorry. Education, then entertainment.
Education, I'd say 70.
Yeah, 70 only?
Huh. Well, okay, about 85. I mean,
hold on.
Jerry,
I'm
this is the first time I've done this, the formal grading, so I'm a little new here with this. But I mean,
I learned a lot. I mean, I don't think I'm going to get rich off of it, but I was enlightened.
Yeah, I was too. I learned a lot from him.
So 85. What about entertainment value? Could you listen to that for an hour on the road or in the airport on your iPod?
Probably about 80. I mean, it was a little back and forth. I mean, it was entertaining. Could I listen to it? Yeah, but I'm listening to it to learn, so I'm taking a little bit of a different perspective.
So maybe engaging more so than entertaining. So did it hold your interest?
Yes.
Okay. All right, who's next on the scores? Jim Durbin?
Yeah, I'll say 95 in education because I thought there was a lot of great stuff that came.
Yep.
And I would say maybe a 60 in entertainment, and that's only because I love to hear English people tell stories.
All right, anybody else with some scores? Anybody still on the line?
Hey, Jerry.
Hey.
Jerry, David Manic here. Yo. I'm actually in an airport being entertained, so I'm not the perfect person to give a score right now.
Excellent.
I give it a 60 for, information, education. And
so you already knew all that.
Well, I knew a bunch of it, but also, like, I don't care about a lot of it. You know, just like a lot of the social stuff that's working, I care about, and there's so much stuff that just will never matter, and that stuff I just have overload at this point. In terms of entertaining, I thought it was pretty entertaining. I mean, like I said, I'm here in the airport. I've been listening the whole way through, so I give it a 85.
All right, man. Hey, give us a Sherm update, man. What was the highlight?
It was actually a really good show. Usually I kind of find them boring.
Yeah.
This time they picked like speakers who are relevant for right now. And it was pretty freaking good. They did a good job.
Nice.
In terms of like what was going on in the highlights, I think the whole monster branch out drama kind of captured all the lion's share of the attention of what's going on. But, you know, conferences, in the end, they're kind of boring. They're kind of just educational. Like, the real work of the conference is actually happening in the sessions. And all the people writing about it, including me, kind of get caught up in all the rest of the stuff. So, highlights or whatever. I mean, the highlight was that a lot of people learned a lot of stuff.
Were you one of the celebutards? And I don't use that term to criticize any particular group of people.
Good that you say that. Jerry, why don't you tell me if I am a celebitard?
I don't think so. I think you've earned your place in the circle that you're in. I'm just not into this.
That was a passive-aggressive swipe by a guy who's mad because social media people are knocking on his door. We just remember what that was about. That was not
Jim,
about what he said
I'm
it
gonna,
was.
I'm going to disagree with you there. Jeremy actually is one of the people that I respect the most in the industry. I didn't really agree with his post at all. I will tell you, that guy is one of the smartest people I know.
I think that he said something that's been bugging me for a while, though not from an in-person, first-person perspective. I don't need all of my social feeds clogged up by five people that somebody paid their airplane ticket to some event to just jam it full with their hashtag for 2 days.
Jerry,
I don't need it.
Jerry, that's a made-up problem because it's, like you just said, it's like five people, it's 10 people, it's 20 people. It's not a big thing. It's not a lot of people. So, you know, you don't like it, ignore those people and move on.
But my
like
personality, I can't just ignore something. I need to really make a point about the fact that I'm bugged by something. It's my shtick.
You got a bitch about it.
Mm-hmm. But can we remember that this has been the case for years and years? I mean, David, you remember. You guys and Kennedy were the first one to actually bring bloggers on and actually talk about it. And back then, everybody was saying all the same things. Now, if it weren't for these guys pushing information out, do you think recruiting would be as far along in the social sphere as it was?
I'll tell you though, Jim, the bloggers that we had come on board to speak at the events back in when we were kind of having the first people do it, they were bloggers who were blogging in order to do their jobs. They weren't blogging like a meta thing like this is about the profession. They were actually using the tools or trying to use the tools to recruit. And I think the people that were being talked about in that post and I mean, I'm actually in the Lori camp of, like, if you're going to do that stuff, name names.
Yeah. I'd love to see that.
But, But
no one will ever do that.
I think the people who were being talked about in that post were kind of the people who were kind of talking more about, like, you know, the navel-gazing aspect of it rather than the actual job.
I'm totally with you guys at some of this. Like, I heard Dan Schauble come up with that stuff, and they're like, come on, guys, seriously. You don't know anything about recruiting. I just think there's, in that case, I think there's more to it, and it's clear when there's, I don't share all the information I have. I just think it's a little different than Jeremy was saying. I think some of his clients are asking questions about social media, and he's getting a little freaked out about it. And I think that's the case, because that wasn't, there's been a rash of it.
I can almost guarantee you that's not the case.
It's possible. Why would you,
what leads you to believe that he's freaking out about social media? That's kind of weird.
It would seem weird, but
I think that I got what his point was, and I agreed with it.
Yeah,
though
like,
then, over on Lori's blog, the conversation turned to the use of the term celebutard, and then it just kind of, I personally dragged it in a whole different direction, but I don't know if anybody reads Lori's blog, but it was interesting.
Yeah, but I think the social media aspect that you're mentioning, Jerry and Jim and the other one, I'm sorry, I don't know who the other one was.
David Manister, he's one of the heavyweights, ERE.net.
Hey,
you're
David,
in the presence
Allen's
of
here. I know Todd Raphael. One of the things, and there's an article I haven't started yet in the new issue of Fast Company, and I thought it's relevant right now, is that social media right now is exploding, and I think what we got right now is we've got a whole bunch of different sites. You've got the biggies, LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, and now you've got a whole bunch of other ones, and it kind of reminds me of when the Internet started, of you got a whole bunch of stuff coming out, you got a whole bunch of everybody's trying to figure it out. It's sort of like the when we got the printing press, and everybody starts printing pictures of trees and everything else, and everybody got sick of it, and it's like, well, what can we really do with the horsepower of this? It's like, hey, we can educate the masses. We can do this, and the Internet is now at that point in different aspects, and I think social media now is at the point where everybody's out there, everybody's excited. They're not, and to a degree, they're not sure what they're excited about, and to some degree, I think the next step in social media, especially in our business and at direct hiring companies, is how do you prove the ROI, and I think that question is going to be going on for a while until there's some good ROI metrics and tools out there to do that, because it is sort of nebulous.
No, I think
not
more.
At all.
I think more to
the
point.
No ROIs are the ones. Who are,
I don't think that any of that's wrong, Jim. But I don't see what it has to do with that post.
With what?
With the original post.
Yeah, I think it's at least that post was more about people who aren't in the profession, but they're in the room tweeting their thoughts on the stuff, and I find that
that's annoying,
useless.
He was trying to point that, hey, you know, you need more HR folks down in the trenches getting involved. But the thing is, they are. If you really want to make fun of people, you don't make fun of social media quote experts. You make fun of people inside corporations who still have basic knowledge that's lacking.
Because we all need somebody to make fun
sitting
of.
Sitting there, you talking about the ones
that
are sitting there saying.
No one ever wants to make fun of a client, but truly, they know less than even the consultant. I mean, the consultants, the problem is they lack a lot of business experience. You know, they only have the experience and what they've done. Like, it would be very hard for Jerry to sell cars on the Internet. He doesn't sell cars unless he has. But he can probably figure out stuff in recruiting.
I just think that this...
I think passive-aggressive swipes are kind of cowardly. That's kind of my take on it.
So yeah, but also, I don't think that there's really any place for publicly disparaging people by name. I think you can cover a theme, that theme being the group of bloggers, tweeters, what have you, that I think, frankly, have run out of things to talk about personally. See, social media is about you personally, your life, what you do and what you're into. And I think that there's a group of people who were burned out on their life story, so now they're at different conferences and events, and not just the HR field. I follow all kinds of people.
You're right. I think it's validation. You're absolutely right. They're bored with their jobs. They want to advance, and they see social media as the way to do so.
Or maybe they don't even have jobs.
You're right. A lot of them are broke.
And I'm not naming names, and I'm not pointing out anybody in particular. I'm just saying the group, the traveling Twitter bugs Man, just kind of bug me. Well, guys, I have to get back to work today. Anybody have a score that I did not get for the show so I can anybody else that's listening that hasn't said their scores? Anybody? Nobody. I wanted to talk about the recruiting blogs purchase. What do you think about that, Dave?
I think that we'll have to see what the new orders do with it. I've already noticed a few changes I'm not in love with. Like they took away the featured post stuff on the front page yesterday.
I hadn't noticed that.
You know, it's like day three or something. So, you know, give those guys a chance.
Yeah, I'm into it. I think the right profile of person or group bought it, you know, recruiters. I think that's cool. I mean, I don't know what their long-term business plan is with it, but it's really not my affair. And it doesn't seem like much has changed in terms of people hanging out, chit-chatting, that kind of thing. So ought to be interesting.
Yep. I'm sorry that I didn't get it myself, but it was not meant to be.
I did bid on it a couple of times, but once it was up like 60 or 70,000 bucks, I'm like, once it goes from being something that you can just, you know, put on the shelf and check it out every once in a while, which is what I would have done. Said I'm out.
Do you really need recruiting blogs too?
Right.
He wants to see the monopoly for the recruiting industry.
A monopoly of what?
Why don't you buy
an Ing platform? That sounds crazy.
All right, guys, you've been great. Thanks for hanging out with me, and we'll see you next week, I hope.
See you guys.
I'm a big man now, and I don't have to be nice to people unless I want to. Maureen, Maureen.